All right, brethren, let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We read here in verse 14. Moses asked God the name that he was to declare when he came to the children of Israel. Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now hold your place right here and turn with me to John 17. John 17. As Christ was praying in verse 24 in John 17, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And that's anywhere he is. When he was finishing up his ministry, and when he went to the cross, and he went to heaven, this was his prayer. I will that they be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold my glory. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's what Christ said when he said, I am that I am. I've existed since the foundation of the world. The pre-existing, the always existing, self-sufficient God. Watch now. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Thou hast sent me, he said. And I have declared unto them thy name. That's what he was declaring there when he said, I am that I am. I've declared to them thy name. That's what he was doing when he walked this earth, declaring the name of God, the righteous Father. Read on. And he said, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is how the love of God is put in the heart of a child. Christ is formed in that child through the declaration of this name, this glorious name. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now read on, John 18, 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. This is after he had finished praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and what have you. He sweat great drops of blood. Verse 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. They're armed to the teeth. I'm going to take on this Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, nothing's happening by accident. He knows everything that's taking place because he foreordained it. Jesus, knowing that all things should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am. I am. He said to them what he said to Moses, I am that I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. And then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Again Jesus answered, I've told you that I am. He does two things by that name. He conquers our enemies and he saves his people. We just saw the enemies fall backwards. Now watch what he does. He says, I answered you and I've told you I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Take me and let them go. That's the name we're here to declare, the substitute, the I Am. That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Christ is the great I Am. Now let's go back to our text and let's keep reading. He's the eternal, existing, self-sufficient God. We declare his name, and when we declare his name, we declare his glory. Verse 15, and God said moreover unto Moses. He's got something else to say about his name. God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Brother Ravi just read there, and that verse that he read, one of the verses he read in Isaiah, said, they're going to say, this is our God. This is the Lord. Speaking about Christ. His people, when he comes, they're going to say, this is our God. This is the Lord. All capitals, L-O-R-D. And the Lord here says, Christ the Lord, right here, says, you tell them, you tell Israel, the Lord, all capitals. Jehovah, God, the I Am, the covenant God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. We're going to observe the Lord's table today. And the reason we're observing that table is Christ gave us these. He gave us these physical elements for a purpose. Brother Scott Richardson, before he died, he came up to Marvin one day and he pulled out his pocket knife and he gave it to Marvin. And he said, Marvin, I want you to have something to remember me by. Marvin said, Scott, I won't ever forget you. And he said, take the knife. And Marvin said, I don't ever pull out that knife, but I don't remember Scott. Why did he give us these physical elements right here? As a memorial. To remember what? To remember the memorial. To remember his name. He said, this is my name and this is my memorial to all generations. My people in every generation, my name is my memorial. Now, the Lord God of our fathers. That's what I've titled this message. You notice I didn't say the Lord God of your fathers. That's what he told Moses. I said the Lord God of our fathers. Why? I titled the message, The Lord God of Our Fathers, because for every believer, Christ is the Lord God of our fathers. Of Abraham, our father, of Isaac, our father, and of Jacob, our father. It means he is our covenant God, the God of the living, not the God of the dead, the God of the living. He's the covenant God who saves his people from our sins. Everybody he's ever saved has worshipped the same Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us have. Everybody that's been saved. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down to you and me. We've all worshipped and believed on and trusted the same Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God of our fathers. Now, the first thing I want you to notice here in seeing his name and understanding this name is, notice God is sending Moses into Egypt. Christ is. This is Christ doing it. God, he's God, he's Christ. This is Christ in the burning bush. He's sending Moses into Egypt to accomplish the exodus, the way out, the exit, the journeying out, the exodus of the children of Israel. Out of Egyptian slavery. The exodus out of Egyptian slavery, out of bondage. And the thing we have to remember about Christ's name is God our Father sent Christ the Lord God. He sent him forth, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He sent him forth to accomplish the exodus of all God's elect. That's what Christ came forth to do. That's what this name is. That's what this name declares. That's the power of this name. That's why he said, go forth and declare this name. It's the declaration that he accomplished the exodus of his elect out of spiritual bondage. Go with me to Luke chapter 9, just a moment. Luke chapter 9. The Lord Jesus spoke in Luke 9 about the Son of Man. Now get that, the Son of Man coming in his glory. And then he said, and there's some of you standing here with me right now that shall not taste death until you see the kingdom of God. And he was saying to them, there's some of you standing here that are going to get a glimpse. Everybody, he asked them, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you're Elias, and some say the Christ. And he said, who do you say I am? They said, he said, who do you say I am? They said, you're the Christ. He said, don't tell anybody this. I must be taken by my enemies, and I must go to the cross, and I must lay down my life, and I must suffer these things. I must do it. And he said, but there's some of you standing here. You're going to not die till you see the Son of Man. Everybody thinks I'm just a man. You're going to see the Son of Man. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he said the Son of Man because he's saying, you're going to see my glory as the God-man mediator. And he said, there's going to be some standing here that won't taste death till you see the Son of Man come in his glory. You're going to see the kingdom of God. Now look at Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance, his face, his appearance, his bodily appearance was altered. And his raiment was white and glistering. He took some of those that were standing there with him, his disciples, before they tasted death, and took them up to this mount and gave them a glimpse of his glory as the Son of Man, just like he said he would. They saw a glimpse into the kingdom of God when they saw this sight right here. And he took them there, and they beheld a glimpse of this glory in this mount. That's where they were. There's the glory shining forth in this mount. Now, I don't know what mount this is. Men want to spend all their time debating over what mount this is. I don't know. But I'll tell you the mount where Christ's glory shines forth. Mount Calvary on the cross. That's where it shines forth. That's not where they're at now. And where they're at now, he's standing there and you see him in all his glory. You see him with this brilliance and this white raiment shining forth. And you see all of that. If you want to see that, you want to see that, I'll tell you where to look. Look to the cross and see him hanging there between two thieves. You'll see his glory as the Lord God of our fathers look to the cross and see him hanging there between two thieves. See him hanging there bearing the sin of the spotless Lamb of God, bearing the sin of his people in his own body on the tree. See him hanging there. See him numbered with the transgressors. See him bloody and beaten and his body broken and his blood spilled out so that he could fulfill the everlasting covenant of grace for his people and honor God while he did it. You want to see his glory? That despised place that people despise, that place of the skull, that place of death that people look to and that blood they look to and they say that's a despised thing. Don't preach about the blood. That's where you see his glory. Satisfying God and saving his people. What is that glory? Look here, Luke 9:30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. Now, here you have the law and the prophets. Here you have Moses, who represents the law, and here you have Elijah, who represents the prophets. Here you have the law and the prophets speaking to Christ, bearing witness of Christ, because that's what God gave all the law and all the prophets to do, to bear witness of Christ. Look with me. I'm sorry, don't look. And this too, look at this, who appeared in glory. Who appeared in glory. There's the law and the prophets glorified. Honored. Christ said, don't think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to completely fulfill the law and the prophets. Not simply to be the fulfillment of it, but to fulfill it so fully that it's moved out of the way now, and there's just the I am, just me, the Lord God of your fathers. The glory of Christ shines forth on the cross because there he magnified and honored the law of God. There he obeyed God and dotted every I and crossed every T when he hung there on that cross at Calvary. He's hanging there fulfilling the positive aspect of the law, loving God and his brethren as himself, while he's fulfilling the negative aspect of the law and justifying his people from our sin. And that is the love of the law. You want to see the fulfillment of the law? Look to Christ on the cross. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness because he's the fulfillment of it in every way. He is. And then he did the same thing, glorifying the prophets. He fulfilled every word they ever spoke. And here they are now, standing there, Moses and Elias, they're standing there and they're bearing witness of Christ because that's what the law and the prophets do. Look at Romans 3 and look at verse 21. Romans 3:21. Now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. There's the glory of God right there. How God could be righteousness without you and me keeping his law. Without, here's the righteousness of God without you, without the obedience of his people to the law. Not their obedience, not anything they've done by their hand. Here it is. Look at the next word. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He said this is what the law and the prophets bore witness to throughout that old covenant. They were saying, Christ is the righteousness of God for his people without their touching that law. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. When you see faith of Christ, and if your Bible don't say faith of Christ right there, throw it away and get one that does, because that means by Christ's obedience. That means by what he did on Calvary's cross. Not your faith in him, that means his faith. We're justified by the faith of Christ. That's why we believe in Christ. Paul said over in Galatians. The faith of Jesus Christ is manifest. That's where you're going to see the glory of God. The righteousness of God without the law. Without his people keeping the law. Now look back at Luke 9 with me and look at verse 31. What did they speak about? Let me say this before I read this next phrase. I love how God constantly gives you the message he's going to have you to preach. I have struggled and wrestled and just, you know, I was going to preach out of Exodus 3. And I began to think about this is Sunday when we're going to observe the Lord's table. And I really want to preach something that shows the suffering of Christ on the cross. And this verse came to my mind. Verse 31 came to my mind. I had worked on Exodus. And then verse 31 comes to my mind. So I go over there and start trying to work on a message for verse 31. And look here now. And they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. The word decease means exodus. That's what it means. It means exodus. Decease means exodus. They spoke of the exodus, which he should accomplish, that means fulfill completely, at Jerusalem, at the cross. That's what they were talking about. Here's Moses. What did God use Moses to do? How was he a type of Christ? We saw him as a type of the law, because he's the lawgiver. God used him to give the law. How's he a type of Christ? In our text, God is Christ is sending Moses forth to preach his name. And Moses is going to accomplish the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And here you have Elias, who did not see death, remember? He didn't see death. He didn't die. But God carried him up in a chariot of fire right into glory. And he pictured Christ accomplishing the exodus of his people out of this world into that next world of promise where we'll abide forever with him. He took us out of the bondage of sin when he went to that cross and obeyed God on that cross. And when he was there broken and shedding his blood, the reason his name is the Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, is because he is the covenant God. And Christ himself is the covenant. He is the covenant. He is the fulfillment of that covenant and the fulfiller of that covenant. And he was on that cross. Remember what he said? This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood which is shed, which is the New Testament in my blood, the New Covenant, the everlasting covenant of grace, signed, sealed, and delivered in my blood, by my broken body, my shed blood. That's what he was accomplishing there on that cross. And when he cried out, "It is finished," brethren, he was saying he has delivered his children, all those God the Father gave him. He's delivered them out of the bondage of sin, and out of the bondage of the curse of the law, and out of the bondage of the slavery of our own fleshly nature, and out of the bondage of death, and everything, every enemy we had, just like the Israelites in Egypt, and Exodus carried them out in the Exodus. He said, "It's finished. I have just accomplished the exodus of all my people from under the law. From under their sin, from under their death, I've accomplished their exodus." And then when he stood there, after he was resurrected and he spent some time with his apostles and his disciples, and he stood there and they watched him ascend and watched him go up into glory. And remember, two men were there with him too when he ascended. It wasn't Moses and Elias, but it reminds you of this mount right here, doesn't it? And there he ascended up there, and they said, "Why, look, stand here gazing. He's coming back the same way you see him go." And Paul told us over in Ephesians 2, and when he quickened him, he said, "He quickened you." And he raised his people up with him, and he made us sit together with him in heavenly places, so that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his glory and his grace to us. That's what they spoke about, that exodus, out of our bondage and our death, and out of this life into glory. The exodus Christ would accomplish. Peter then, he wanted to build a tabernacle for all three of them. He wanted to build a tabernacle for all three of them. Scripture said he didn't know what he was saying. And Luke 9:35 says this, "There came a voice out of the cloud saying," you remember God said, "Lord, I pray that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory." Well, here's Peter and James and John, where he is beholding his glory. And he talked about all his people. They all going to be brought to behold this glory too. But here they are beholding his glory. And the Lord told him, he said, "I've glorified you, I'll glorify you again." And here he is doing it right in this mount. "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him. This is my beloved Son, hear him.' And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone." There wasn't three of them standing there now. There was just one of them. Just one of them. God declared here, "This is mine elect. This is my beloved Son. This is him in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Don't look to the law. Don't look to the prophets. Hear my Son. And when he speaks this word in your heart, when he speaks this word in your heart and he makes you to hear this, you're going to look, and I tell you what you'll behold. You'll stop beholding the law and your works and your deeds and your sins and all those things that you've been trying to put away and the righteousness you've been trying to accomplish. You'll cease seeing that anymore, You're not going to be looking at Moses anymore, and you're not going to be looking at the prophets anymore, wasting your time with what shall be in the end and all this, because you've found the end. You'll behold Christ Jesus the Lord alone. And when you behold Him alone, you'll hear God say, now hear Him. Not the law, not the prophets. This one right here is the one you're following from now on. He's the one that's going to bring you in out of this exodus. He's going to accomplish it and bring you right to glory with me. Follow Him. Follow Him. Now, do anybody have a bulletin? Anybody have a bulletin? I want you to read this article. Let me read this article to you, Brother Scott wrote in here. Now, there's only the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Listen to this. We're not justified by the law. The Scripture distinctly teaches us that we are not justified by the law, nor is the law a rule of life. That which can only curse can never justify. And that which can only kill can never be a rule of life. Both the Jews who had received the law and the Gentiles who had never had the law were now to be saved through grace. Not only were they to be saved by grace, but also they were to stand in grace. Romans 5:2. They were to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. And all who seek to put believers under the law are tearing down the very foundations of the Christian faith. Listen to the strong words which came from the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. That's what God was saying when they looked up and there wasn't anybody there but Christ. Not Moses, not the prophets. And God said, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. That's what God was saying right there. Hear Him. Now let's go back real quick to our text. I want to show you one more thing. Just as God sent Christ, and just as Christ was sending Moses, Christ is now sending His preacher into the world. And Christ is accomplishing the exodus of His people out of the nation by calling us, giving us a new heart. And what's the weapon that He gives us? How's His name going to be glorified? What's our weapon in this? Christ said to Moses, thus shalt thou say. He didn't say, this shall you do. He didn't say, this way, why won't you fighting or anything. He said, I want you to go there and I want you to speak. That's what I want you to do. That's our weapon. Our weapon is to speak the gospel of the name of the God of our fathers, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I am. And notice this. Who was He sent to? Only the children of Israel. He said, God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. And you remember who the children of Israel represent, who they typify? Israel is Jacob. Remember that? He's Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. And Israel here represents God's elect. Moses here, he not Christ. Christ wasn't sent to accomplish the exodus of anybody but His elect. That's all He came to accomplish the exodus of. And Moses is not sent to anybody but the children of Israel. Picture of God, Christ sending His preacher to the elect. And so when we preach, brethren, now there were some there, they heard it. Others heard Him come, Moses come forth and speak. Some Egyptians probably heard it. But He wasn't sent to them, He was sent to Israel. And as this gospel goes forth, there's a whole lot of people that hear it. Anybody that wants to come in and sit down can hear it. But they sadly ignore it because they want to ignore it. They're willing to ignore it. That's their will. I don't want to have a part of that. Those that He sends this gospel to, His elect, He's going to have Christ's name spoken in your heart and make you behold that glory and hear Him speak from heaven saying, hear my Son. This is my Son. Hear Him. He's going to make you behold this glory. And go. He told him to declare His name unto the children of Israel. That's what I'm getting at. This is our gospel, His name. Verse 15, God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. And He said, now speak my name. He said, speak my name. He said, call them by my name and tell them, the God of your fathers have sent you. The God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent you. Now that's what we're going forth to declare. And all the sheep are not just there in Israel. In that nation Israel, He got them scattered all over the place. Remember Christ said, He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He was standing there talking to his elect among the Jews. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He's talking about the Gentiles. His sheep among the Gentiles. Them I also must bring. If this name's going to be glorified, it's been glorified on the cross. If this name's going to be glorified, it's got to also be glorified in our heart. We got to be given a new heart. We got to be justified and sanctified. We got to be made righteous and we got to be made holy. And Christ is both. He's our righteousness and our sanctification. And he's going to send this gospel and he's going to get this work done in the heart of his people through the declaration of his name. That's why he said, go forth and declare my name. And he's going to call his people out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation on this earth. Christ called Abraham, just like he does his people. He called him out of idolatry. You and I were all called out of idolatry. The idol was the one we looked at in the mirror every day. We were all called out of idolatry, whether you had a statue or not. And he called him out, and he said to him that in his seed, he said, in your seed, made a covenant with him. He's the covenant God, and that's how he saves, through covenant. This gospel is a covenant gospel. He said, in your seed, Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Was he saying everybody in the world can be saved? No. He was saying all his elect out of every nation and kindred and tongue and tribe under heaven is going to be saved. But get what he said. That's another one of those verses that you want to make sure your Bible reads right. He said, Genesis 22:18, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Who's that seed? Who's this covenant going to be fulfilled in? Turn to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. What seed is it that all the nations of the earth, all his elect scattered in all the nations are going to be blessed in? Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. He said, I'm calling in your seed, in Christ the great I am, in the Lord God of your fathers. He's the one that's going to bless all my people in all nations. Now, what about that law that entered? What about that law? We saw Christ came to fulfill that. And that's what Paul said in verse 17. I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, that's what was confirmed to Abraham. When the gospel was preached to Abraham, a covenant was confirmed of God in Christ. That's what you're going to hear if you ever hear the gospel. It's what I heard and you heard when we first heard it. That's what the sinner is going to hear when he ever hears it. That covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, that everlasting covenant of grace, the law, the covenant of works, which were 430 years after he made that covenant with Abraham, it cannot disannul that everlasting covenant and make that promise of none effect. Couldn't do it. 430 years before the law was given, Abraham walked before God perfectly, God said, and God was pleased with him. How did he do that without the law? He was in Christ. He walked by faith in Christ, not by the law. He didn't even have the law. He walked by faith in Christ. He was saved by Christ. Why? Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise, it's no more of grace. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. That's why. Can't be by the law. Why was it then added? What was the law added for? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, till Christ should come, to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And look here, now go down, I want you to see something. Look here, verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. The law can't give life. But the Scriptures hath concluded all under sin that the promise, God's grace, by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, by his work, by his doing and his dying, it might be given to them that believe in him. But before faith came, before Christ came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, and the word here is, until Christ. Until Christ. that we might be justified by faith. By faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Now here's what I want you to see. Why did he say, Moses, go forth and declare my name and declare that I'm the God, the Lord God of your fathers. I'm the covenant God that saved your fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God, their covenant God. Why did he say that? And why am I telling you, why am I saying he's the Lord God of our fathers? Because you and I are saved today, are children of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. We're children of Christ. We're born of God. We're children of God. We've been given faith to rest in Christ. And that's how you know one is a child of God, a child of Abraham. Look here now, read it. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek anymore. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. You're his children and your heirs according to God's promise. Do you see why he sent him forth to declare that name? He sent him forth to declare that name for the same reason I'm here declaring that name. Because, brethren, the only way we're saved is to behold the glory of God in Mount Calvary. We've got to be made to behold His glory there hanging on that cross whereby He fulfilled the law and the prophets and took that out of the way and nailed it to His cross so that it don't have a thing to say to us anymore. So that we can behold that it's through faith in Christ, trusting His faithfulness alone that we're saved. And those He brings to believe on Him and trust Him through this declaration of His great glorious name and all that He accomplished. God speaks to you and says, this is my Son, hear Him. And you begin to hear Him. And you follow Him alone. And this is how we're going to go through this rest of this life until that day He's going to accomplish that exodus and take us into our heavenly inheritance. And every one of us who are going along here are saved the same way as our father Abraham was saved and our father Isaac was saved. And our father Jacob was saved. We were saved in Christ Jesus, the Lord God of our fathers. All right, we'll observe the Lord's table now. Brother Kevin, would you come and pass the elements out? And Brother Robert.